his heart. Lord, I see what he does and his imprint, his footprint because of you upon Hayward, Wisconsin. And Lord, I ask you to bless him, watch over him, meet his needs. Lord, his ministry extends worldwide, no matter how small of an area he is confined to. His love for you and his faith has traveled throughout the world. So guide Dave, watch over him and his family. Lord, meet their needs and continue to save souls in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Dave. God bless you, brother. All right, if you have your Bibles, we are going to start out in Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're talking about why church. Why would you go to church? And what are the reasons? And this morning, the reason that I want to bring up to you is habit or custom, all right? In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a habit is described as a settled tendency or usual manner of behavior, an acquired mode of behavior that has become nearly or completely involuntary, a behavior pattern acquired by frequent repetition or physiological exposure that shows itself in regular or increased faculty of performance, a habit. My question to you is, what are you in the habit of doing? Is that a fair question? Habits. So when I was young and growing up on the farm, my mom and dad never said to me, "Davey, would you like to go to church this morning?" They never asked me. I knew on a Sunday morning when I woke up that we were going to go to church and I had to hurry up and get my chores done. And the only time I got to stay home from church is if the electricity went out, and then we either had to milk cows by hand or we had to put a belt on a tractor and a pulley and go through a whole bunch of extra work to milk our cows. And I learned at a very early age that I would rather go to church than stay home. So I want to be humble this morning. I want to be sensitive, but I also want to speak to parents and grandparents and to children this morning. And I want to ask you about your habits. Beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, the child, this is talking about Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival. Now listen, according to the custom, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Father, I pray you would teach us this morning, that, Lord, you would guide us and that we would draw close to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Your first point, Mary and Joseph were in the habit of going to church. You see, they had so many festivals that they were required to go to Jerusalem. But I believe they went to synagogue and they were faithfully being in God's Word. They were in the habit of doing it. Listen to Proverbs 22 in the NIV translation. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. See, start children off on the way they should go. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Here's what's going on today. Parents aren't bringing their children to church every week. Parents are saying, well, tell me what you want to do. This is what I hear all the time. I hear, we're going to wait till our children grow up and we're going to let them decide if they want to go. And I want to tell parents, grandparents, caretakers, every ism in the world will present itself to that child if you don't bring them to Jesus. Every ite will come after them. You heard what Dave said about when he went to college. And they try to tell you that Jesus doesn't exist and that there is no faith that has any effect on your life when it comes to Christianity. And it says in Proverbs again, start children off on the way they should go. Your second point, Jesus developed the habit of going to church, all right? Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. He, Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue. Listen, as was his custom, he stood up to read. As was his custom, as he was used to, as he was in the habit of doing. It says the same thing about the Apostle Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue and he reasoned with them. What are your customs? What are your habits? Jesus developed the habit of going to church. I remember a time when my middle daughter, not Amy, who goes to church here, but my middle daughter, she was very particular about the shoes that she wore. And one day when we were going to church and I was getting ready to load all the children in the car, she refused to go out to the car because she couldn't get the right shoes that felt comfortable to her. And she was having a tantrum. I don't know if anybody here knows what that's like. But she had a tantrum. And I didn't say to my wife and the rest of the family, well, she doesn't want to go, so I suppose we should stay home today. Kicking and screaming, I picked her up and I put her in the back seat of the car. And I know that my wife brought some shoes along because, you know, she didn't want her to go barefoot into church. And I can't remember if she ever put those shoes on or not, but we went to church. And again, I want to remain humble and I want to be loving and caring, but we cannot let children decide for themselves what they want to do and just let them go and wander off in a world that wants to lead them astray. Jesus developed the habit of going to church because his mom and dad went to church. His mom and dad taught him Scripture. Now, your next point, Jesus was in the habit of doing his Father's will. We read in the text in Luke chapter 2, he said, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Some translations say, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's will? My question to you, Christian, is whose will are you about? And I have to confess to you, most of the time I am about doing what I want to do when I want to do it, which is the definition of pride. And I want to train myself to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what are we going to do today? What do you have for me? Whose will am I about? And my goal is to get my will and God's will to come together so that I can be about my Father in heaven's business. And we have to train our children and our grandchildren. When my grandchildren come to my house, Grandma tells them about Jesus. She reads Scripture to them. She's taught my daughter, who I told you didn't like putting on those shoes, she taught her children already how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. and we have to train them up. And Jesus was in the habit of doing his Father's will. There were so many scriptures on this that I could choose from. I chose one, John chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Over and over, it's in Scripture where Jesus says, "Hey, I'm not speaking my words, I'm speaking the words of the one who sent me." And Jesus was completely about doing his Father's will. We go to Matthew, all right, Matthew chapter 26, all right, and verse 39. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the way to the cross, says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And church, this morning, I want to ask you, whose will are you about? Whose will are you following? Whose will do we follow? And whose will are you in the habit of following? You see, how many people here have ever watched a football game or a baseball game? Anybody? Not anymore, huh? Been canceled for a bit? And I don't mean to make light of that, you know, and that doesn't have a bearing in our eternity. But if you watch these athletes, this is what you will find. And because we've got so many football fans here, when a receiver catches a football 100 times a day, 1,000 times, 2,000 times, 1,000,000 times, this is what they learn. They learn, watch the football into these two hands and watch it till your hands grip it. It's called looking the ball in. And they practice it time after time, day after day, month after month, year after year. And they do it millions of times because when they're out on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday and the quarterback throws them the football and it's here and he touches it and two no-neck, 300-pound guys hit him. If you watch them, they'll do a flip and they'll keep their eye on the football, and when they come down on their back, they'll watch the football, it'll come in. Now, they didn't think that day, "Now I'm going to learn to look that ball into my hands." It's a habit. They do it out of habit. They don't have to think to do it, church. What are we in the habit of doing? What are we in the habit of following? Whose will do we follow? A baseball player, the science of a baseball swing is unbelievable. You step like you're on thin ice, keeping your balance. You wind your torso and you snap through the ball. When a guy gets up there and he has a fraction of a second to decide swing or not swing, he doesn't go step on thin ice, wind the torso, snap in. He doesn't do that. He's done it millions of times, and it's a reaction. And he hits home runs and singles and doubles. If he's not on my team, he does that anyway. But do you hear me? The habits. What are you in the habit of doing? When the chips are down, when you have a moment to decide, what are you in the habit of doing? Look at your next point. Jesus was not in the habit of disobeying his parents. "Son, why have you done this to me?" You know, Jesus didn't say, "But Mom, I always do this." It was so uncharacteristic that Mary and Joseph said, we don't know what to do. You've never done this before." What are our children in the habit of doing? I'm here to tell you the media does not teach them to obey. Start a child off in the way that they should go. Jesus was not in the habit of disobeying his parents. I wonder how many people know what Exodus, all right, chapter 20 and verse 12 says. I quiz young people on this. You see what it says? "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." I say to my fourth grade grandson, I say, "Do you know what the commandment is?" And he says, "I know, Grandpa, honor your mother and father." You You see, church, we need to teach the Word of God. You heard what Dave said. There's a famine of Bible knowledge. Children, do you know that if you honor your mother and father, there's a promise that goes with it? And what are you in the habit of doing? Jesus was not in the habit of disobeying his parents. I can't believe the lesson I learned one day babysitting for one of my grandchildren. I don't know which one it was or what was going on, but I remember playing with one of my grandchildren, and he looked up at me and he said, "Grandpa," he said, "it's time for me to go to bed." And I said, "What?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, it's my bedtime, Grandpa." And I said to my daughter, I said, "What in the world have you done to my grandson?" They said, "Dad, it's called raising kids God's way. You put them to bed at the same time every night, and it becomes a habit, and they go to sleep." And I'm like, I drove you around in my car at night trying to get you to fall asleep, and you've done this with your children? Where was that book when I was a parent? It was right here. It was right here. What are we in the habit of doing, church? Your next point, Jesus was in the habit of redeeming souls. I think this is one of the best points God has ever given me, especially in the context of habits. What are you in the habit of doing? Jesus was in the habit of redeeming souls. Wherever he went, he cared about souls. When the rich young ruler walked up to him in the Gospel of Mark, it says Jesus loved him immediately. And then he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "You know, keep the commands. I've done this." He said, "One thing you have to do, sell everything you have, come follow me." It says he walked away sad. Jesus was after his soul. He cared about his soul, not his stuff. I want everybody to understand it. Jesus was in the habit of redeeming souls. Now, last week during worship, I was just a sheep here last week. They were ministering from the college, you know, where Riley came from. We had students here ministering, and I just came in late and sat over there. People have been asking me all week, "Why weren't you at church last week?" I said, "I was at church. I just blended in. It was wonderful." But as I was worshiping, the Lord brought this point to me, that Jesus was in the habit of redeeming souls. Look with me at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50. When Judas comes and he betrays Jesus, look at how Jesus addresses him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." And then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus, and they arrested him. Now, I went and I studied that word friend, because I said it surely can't mean friend. And you know what that word means in the original language? It means friend, mate, comrade, close friend. You see, Jesus, even to his betrayer, said, "Do what you came for, friend." He left the door open for Judas, so that Judas could have run to the cross and he could have said, "Lord, I'm so sorry I betrayed you." And he would have heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive him." Jesus did not close the door. He kept the door of redemption open. Is everybody listening? What are you in the habit of doing, church? Are you in the habit of caring about a soul? If a person is in need, do you care about their soul? If a person cuts you off driving, do you care about their soul? And it's so important today that we understand that Jesus was in the habit of redeeming souls. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. If you have it back there and can put it up. "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Listen to this. Even when we're not faithful, Jesus remains faithful. It's talking about him. He cannot deny who he truly is. He cannot deny himself. He is the Savior of the world, and he wants to redeem a soul. How about us, church? Are we in the habit of redeeming a soul? I want you to get so used to walking up to a person that you don't know and caring about their soul that it happens every time. And it's so important that church survives. Church. And it's so important that we nurture each other's faith. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of, you know, the brethren, and even more as the day approaches, so that we may encourage each other as we get to the end times. And folks, if this isn't tipping the hat towards the end times, I don't know what is. Last point, church attendance will develop habits of worship, fellowship, reading God's word, ministering to others, thinking with the mind of Christ, and prayer. These are all the reasons that we've gone through in the past weeks on why should you go to church. It's to get in the habit of worship. Abraham didn't have to go, well, should I worship or should I not worship? Abraham worshiped when he was meeting with God and God was telling him about Sodom and Gomorrah. He came to God and it says he bowed down before him and he said, I who am but dust and ashes dare to speak to you. That was worshiping God. Are you in the habit of worshiping God? I woke up this morning and I was singing the song, I was born to worship you. It's Susie and the Old Boys and Kyle's signature tune. Did you know that? I was born to worship you. Do you worship? Job, on the worst day of his life, he lost everything he owned. He lost his entire family except for his wife. And do you know what the Bible says in the first chapter? It says that Job tore his garments and it says he worshiped God. And I said to Matt this week, just so that I'm clear about this, that word worship there, does it really mean that Job worshiped? And Matt looked at me and said, that means Job worshiped. And he said, I came into the world naked. I'm going to leave the world naked. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. What would you do in a crisis? What are we in the habit of doing, church? Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. He said, we don't know what to do. What should we do, Lord? We're looking to you. And what did God do? He sent the worship team out for battle. And the opposing armies turned upon themselves and wiped each other out. And Israel came and gathered up the booty. Are you in the habit of worshiping? Church attendance will put you in the habit of fellowshipping. And you will get to know people and you will get close to them. Acts chapter 2 says they continued in the apostles' teaching, in the breaking of bread. See? Meeting from house to house. What? In fellowship. It connects you with other Christian people who will pick you up. There will be divine appointments when you're ready to give up. And when you say, everybody's run away from God, and somebody will turn and say, but I haven't, and you haven't. So let's get together and let's gather as many as we can. Is everybody hearing this morning? What are you in the habit of doing? If you read the text in Hebrews, it says, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. It actually says, as some are in the habit of doing. Let's get the good habit. Let's go to church. I want my children to feel like something's missing if they didn't make it to church on Sunday. Going to church puts you in the habit of reading God's word and hearing God's word. They continued in the apostles' teaching. Do you read the Word every day? If you wake up and your eyes are, you know, full of sleep and you hurt and you can't see like me usually early in the morning, takes you a while to get rolling now, I just push that speaker on my Bible app and it starts reading the Scripture to me. I can't get out of the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel right now. I understand it better than I've ever understood it before. I just let it read to me and I'm listening to it. And it's my prayer, church, that you will get in the habit of reading God's Word. Why? Because you come to church. You know what? As a child in grade school, I went to church 6 days out of 7 days. You know what? If the bus was on time, I had to go to church, and they read Scripture to me. And no one had to tell me what the Bible said because it was read to me from a little child all the way up. I just had to put faith in it, start checking it out for myself. Going to church gets you in the habit of ministering to others. Jesus sent them out. Remember, he sent them out two by two. He said, go into a place, bring your blessing to the house. If they receive the blessing, they're blessed. If not, it comes back to you. Leave that place, shake the dust from your feet. But it didn't say stop witnessing, stop ministering. It said go to the next place. In church, we need to get in the habit of ministering to people. If you see someone that's hurting, pray for them. I can't even remember where it was, but just the other day, I saw some poor lady trying to carry something to her car. And I just said, wait a minute, to the people. And I took it and I carried it. And she looked at me like I was an alien from outer space. But you know what I saw when I put the thing in the back seat of her car? There was a Bible in there, and she said, thank you. What are you in the habit of doing, church? We need to train ourselves up. Like that end catches the ball and looks it into his hands, like that professional baseball player snaps into the baseball and keeps his head on the ball. We need to get in the habit of following our Lord and Savior, and we need to think with the mind of Christ. If you come to church, it will develop a habit of you thinking with the mind of Christ. Look at the world right now, church. Are they thinking with the mind of Christ? Are they reading Psalm 91 saying, Lord, bring peace to us. Calm the storm. Lord, you're the one who spoke to it. I want to present something to you this morning. Jesus walked up to lepers and touched them and healed them. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and try and get sick, okay? What I'm saying to you is, do you look at your Savior? And the lepers were screaming, unclean, unclean, and they were supposed to stay so far away. And everybody was gasping for air when Jesus walked up to them and spoke to them and touched them and healed them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And his disciples said, who is this guy? He spoke to the waves and they quit rocking our boat. Who is this man? It's time for the church to think with the mind of Christ. Be very wise. I have never washed my hands as many times. Look at those things. They haven't been this clean for years. Take the precaution, but walk with Christ. Have the mind of Christ. I love what Dave said. You know what that proves? This man is training up disciples. Because they're saying, what can we do to help? Not, how can we get away, you see? What an opportunity we have, church, right now. What an opportunity to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to be calm and to be ready for whatever comes our way. I got to tell you something right now. I'm so disappointed, and maybe I missed it, but I watched the news last night, and I watched for one thing. You know what I wanted to see? I wanted to see if the news would announce that President Trump called a national day of prayer. Did you know he called a national day of prayer today? Did you hear it on the news? National day of prayer. This is a national day of prayer to stop the coronavirus. And you never heard it on the news. I'll bet you didn't hear it. I listened. I did not hear it. Somebody sent me a text and they showed me the proclamation. I know there's a prophetic word out there because I listened to it that said if he would call a national day of prayer, God would move. And our president called a national day of prayer. What I did see on YouTube this morning is they were making fun of our vice president for praying. And I'm here to tell you, get the mind of Christ. Shut that stuff out. It should have been all over the news. It should have been on every network. They should be shouting from the rooftops. It's a national day of prayer. People, pray. And if we don't go to church and if we don't hear the word of God, we will have the mind of the world and we will have the world view and we will be in fear and trembling and we'll be hunkered down, being afraid. Church, have the mind of Christ. Be wise. And be filled with faith. If you go to church, it will develop a habit of prayer. It's the last one. It's what we talked about 2 weeks ago when I spoke. A habit of talking to God and praying. The best example I can think of here is Daniel. Daniel's enemies came out and they said the only way we can trap this guy is with his faith and what he believes. So here's what we're going to do. Hey, King Darius, for the next 30 days, anyone who prays to anyone or anything other than you is going to go into the lion's den. What do you think, King? Is that a good idea? Because, King, you are the king of the world. You are Lord of lords. And Darius said, hey, that's a great idea. And he said, here, sign it and put your signet ring on it and stamp it according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which you cannot change. And the edict went out, and Daniel heard. If you watch Superbook, the kids are going, don't pray, Daniel, don't pray. What's Daniel do? He opens the window towards Jerusalem. Solomon prayed, Lord, when they're in exile, when we sin against you, and when we're taken captive, and we're out, and we're captives, and we're slaves, and anybody repents, and they turn towards this temple and pray to you, hear their voice. And what happened? Daniel opened the window, he prayed, they heard his voice. And they came in and they arrested him and they said, King, he has to go in to the lion's den. And what did God do? He didn't say, well, Daniel, you know, you should have listened to the edict. Lions, go ahead, have a good meal. That's not what he did. God shut the mouths of the lions. And the next morning when the king said, Daniel, has the God whom you serve continually been able to rescue thee? And Daniel said, O king, live forever. Again, Daniel, in a habit of redeeming souls, just like Jesus said, hey, king, live forever. He didn't say, you rotten king, what'd you put me here for? Is everybody listening? He said, O king, live forever. The God I serve continually has delivered me. And they pulled him out of there, and the men that put him in the lion's den and their families went into the lion's den, and they never hit the ground. Church, which side do you want to be on? I want to go with Daniel, okay? So, Father, we come to you today, and Father, I pray for habits, for customs, that when we're gone, people will say about us, they say on a Sunday morning, as was his custom, they were in fellowship with you, Lord Jesus, and with other Christians. And we had habits of praying and habits of worshiping and habits of ministering to others and a habit of thinking with the mind of Christ. Father, take your word this morning and let it accomplish in us what you've sent it to do. Father, we pray right now again with our president and with the leaders of our government that this coronavirus would stop in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the medical field would say, we don't know what happened, but it is just starting to dry up and we don't know what's going on. And then someone would have the good sense to say, maybe God was listening. Father, I pray for a time of awakening and revival. Revival in the church, awakening among the lost souls. And that, Lord, we would be in the habit of the redemption of souls. And that, Lord, you will use us in the days to come. And that, Lord, we will see fruit. And there will be many come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. We want to pray for you. If not, go out there and be a calming force in this world. Amen.